Welcome to our Thursday evening Bible study.
Bienvenidos a nuestro estudio bíblico.
This evening we're continuing our study on the parables of Jesus.
En esta noche vamos a continuar nuestro estudio sobre las parábolas de Jesucristo.
And this evening we're going to be looking at four parables.
En esta noche vamos a estudiar cuatro parábolas.
Two of the first two are actually one, if you will.
Los primeros dos son uno.
But, so we'll be looking at four parables, and they are entitled The Tower of the Builder and Warring King.
El Constructor de la Torre y El Rey de Guerra.
The Parable of the Lost Sheep.
La Parábola de la Oveja Perdida.
And the Parable of the Unprofitable Servant.
Y la parábola del siervo inútil.
And so let's go ahead and open in prayer, and we will start.
Vamos a orar.
Lord, we ask that you would bless our Bible study this evening. We are grateful to you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you'd open up our minds and our understanding as to what you are bringing out in these parables we are looking at this evening. Holy Spirit, be with us, enlighten our minds, and we thank you for everything that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As we've seen in our studies prior to this,
como hemos visto en nuestro estudio antes de hoy,
Jesus used parables to illustrate kingdom truths to those that were listening to him.
Jesucristo usó parábolas para ilustrar acerca del reino de los cielos a los que le escucharon.
These were spiritual truths that he highlighted through the means of these stories.
Y estas verdades espirituales los ilustró por medio de historias.
The power of the story helps to captivate the attention and the minds of those that are listening.
Y el poder de la historia es ayuda para captivar la atención de los que escuchan.
And it's still the same even today when we preach our sermons and we tell a story. There is something about it that captures our attention.
Y es la misma cosa en el día de hoy cuando escuchamos predicaciones o alguien hablando. Las historias ayudan a captivar la atención.
And so this evening I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14.
En esta noche vaya conmigo al Evangelio de Lucas, capítulo 14.
And all of the parables this evening will be in the Gospel of Luke.
Todas las parábolas que vamos a estudiar esta noche se encuentran en Lucas.
In Luke chapter 14, verses 28 through 32, we will find the first two parables.
En Lucas 14, versos 28 a 32, vamos a leer los primeros dos parábolas.
And so I'm going to read them in English, and then we will consider what both of these parables are speaking about.
Vamos a leerlos en inglés y luego vamos a considerar lo que nos está hablando.
The first parable is the tower builder.
El constructor de la torre.
And then the second one is the warring king.
Y el rey de la guerra.
And so in verse 28 it says, "For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king," and this is the second parable, "or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace." These two parables are, in essence, one and the same.
Estas dos parábolas, en una manera, son uno porque nos habla de la misma cosa.
The same truth is being related through both of these parables.
La misma verdad está enseñándonos en estos dos parábolas.
As I've said in our studies that we've been going through,
como dije, en medio de nuestros estudios,
it's always important to consider the context of why Jesus told the parable.
Siempre es muy importante considerar el contexto que nos enseña la razón por qué Jesús dijo la parábola.
And so we can see the context when we read verses 25 through 27, as well as verse 33. So I'm going to read those just so that we can consider the context.
En versos 25 a 27 y verso 33 nos habla del contexto. Lo va a leer en inglés y luego vamos a hablar.
In verse 25 it says, "Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them." And so picture in your minds, great crowds following Jesus. And now Jesus just stops, he turns to the crowd and begins to speak to this large audience.
Imagínese viendo a Jesucristo hablando a los gran multitudes, se para y empieza a decir esta parábola.
Now notice what he tells them.
Fíjese lo que Jesús les dice.
Verse 26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then verse 33 says, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." In these verses, you notice that Jesus is talking about those that can be his disciples.
En estos versos se puede fijar que Jesucristo está explicando quiénes pueden ser sus discípulos.
Some of you may be saying, as it states in verse 26, it says that we need to hate our father and our mother.
Nos dice en verso 26 que necesitamos aborrecer nuestro padre y madre.
A new believer may be thinking, that's pretty harsh what Jesus is saying.
Un nuevo creyente puede pensar, esos son duras palabras lo que Jesús dijo allí.
Jesus isn't speaking concerning having a hatred of heart towards his own family.
Jesucristo no está hablando de aborrecer la familia en corazón.
But what he's speaking about is that once we come to Christ and desire to follow him.
Pero lo que sí está hablándonos es que cuando nosotros venimos a él para seguirlo,
everything else takes a step down in comparison to Christ. He is our all in all.
Todo lo demás se va a tomar segundo lugar en comparación a él, porque él es nuestro todo en todo.
And so what he's describing is discipleship.
Y Jesús está describiendo ser discípulo.
And in order to follow Jesus truly,
y para seguir a Jesucristo verdaderamente,
there will be a cost.
Vamos a ver que hay una cuenta.
Now, this does not speak concerning our salvation.
Esto no nos está hablando acerca de salvación.
No, we're saved by grace through faith and through that alone.
Estamos salvos por la gracia, por la fe y solamente así.
But if we want to follow Christ, we must be willing to give up everything to follow him.
Pero si queremos seguir a Jesucristo, debemos estar listo de dejar a todo para seguirle.
And so he used these parables to highlight what he was talking about.
Y Jesús usó estas parábolas para poner énfasis en lo que quería decir.
With the tower builder.
Con el constructor de la torre.
He says, "Which of you desiring to build that tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he is able or whether he has enough to complete it."
Verso 28, "¿Quién de vosotros queriendo edificar una torre no se sienta primero y calcula los gastos a ver si tiene lo que necesita para acabarla?"
He's talking about counting the cost.
Nos está hablando de tomar en cuenta lo que nos va a tomar.
In other words, we're not supposed to just haphazardly join this and then just embarrass ourselves and everyone else to quit in the middle of it all.
No debemos de entrar para seguirlo y después cavar en vergüenza por media del camino.
This is concerning the building of a tower, or in our case, it would be building a house.
Estos versos hablan de construir o edificar una torre, o en nuestro caso, de edificar la casa.
To build any kind of structure, it's going to cost something to get it done.
Para edificar algo, siempre va a costar algo.
And so there's a lot to consider in building this particular structure.
Y hay mucho que considerar para saber si lo puede edificar.
And so Jesus, in essence, is saying we must count the cost. But he's using this in relation to our own walk with him.
Y Jesús nos está enseñando que es muy importante contar la cuenta antes, y lo compara también en seguirlo a él.
We, as his disciples, must be determined to start and finish all the way, not give up.
Nosotros, como sus discípulos, tenemos que estar preparados para empezar y seguir hasta terminar, y no parar en medio del camino.
We must consider all that is involved with our relationship with Christ.
Y tenemos que considerar todo lo que está acerca de nuestra relación con Jesucristo.
It's not always easy being a Christian.
No es siempre fácil ser cristiano.
We have an enemy who hates us.
Porque tenemos enemigo que no nos quiere.
We're living in contradiction with the world.
Estamos viviendo en contradicción al mundo.
Not everyone understands our relationship with God.
Y no todos entienden nuestra relación con Dios.
Sometimes we'll go through storms, we'll go through trials.
A veces vamos a pasar por tiempos difíciles.
And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to come and follow after me,
y Jesús está diciendo, si usted me quiere seguir a mí,
you must count the cost.
Tiene que contar la cuenta.
He says in verse 29, otherwise, when you have laid a foundation and it's not possible to finish, all who see it begin to mock, saying, he began to build and was not able to finish.
Verso 29 dice, no sea que después que haya puesto el cimiento no puede acabarla, y todos los que vean comiencen a hacer burla de él, diciendo, este hombre comenzó a edificar y no pudo acabar.
You see, it's very discouraging when someone has started in the way of Christ and then they fall away.
Hay mucho desánimo cuando alguien empieza y despuesito se cae por el lado y no sigue adelante.
And so Jesus illustrates it again by talking about the king who is going to war.
Y Jesús lo ilustró otra vez hablando acerca del rey que se prepara para la guerra.
And he's about to go to war with his own men, 10,000 of them.
El rey tenía 10,000 con él.
And so he needs to think it through. Am I able to fight in battle against a king who has 20,000 men?
Y el rey tenía que considerar la pregunta, ¿estoy capaz de enfrentar con mis 10,000 hombres al rey que tiene 20,000?
And if not, then if he was to go and start this battle and realizes he can't win, he has to go and surrender to the stronger king.
Porque si el rey no considere esto antes, no va a poder terminar y va a caer en vergüenza.
And what Jesus is expressing here, we must be committed believers.
Y Dios quiere que nosotros entendemos que tenemos que estar, ser creyentes fieles.
We, as his disciples, will have to pay a price.
nosotros como sus discípulos vamos a pagar un precio.
And we must consider the cost.
Y tenemos que considerar ese precio.
And so Jesus, again, as we look at the context.
Y en ver el contexto, Jesús, otra vez.
There's a lot of people following Jesus.
Vemos que hay mucha gente, multitudes, siguiendo a Jesucristo.
And Jesus begins to speak to them concerning what they are doing.
Y Jesús les está hablando acerca de lo que ellos están haciendo.
Are they following him just because everybody else is?
Ese grupo está siguiéndolo simplemente porque los demás están siguiendo.
Are they doing it just because it seems to be the popular thing? You know, Jesus at that point is very popular.
O quizás la gente estaba haciéndolo porque era la cosa popular hacer de seguir a Jesús.
Are they committed disciples?
O van a ser discípulos fieles con lealtad a él.
And so he spoke to them concerning the cost of discipleship.
Y él les hablaba acerca del precio de ser un discípulo.
As we saw in verse 26.
Como leímos en verso 26.
He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
Si alguno viene a mí y no aborrece su padre, madre, mujer, hijos, hermanos, hermanas, y hasta su propia vida, no puede ser mi discípulo.
You see, we got to be ready to go all the way, not just with lip service, or not just because everybody else is doing it.
Tenemos que estar preparados de seguir adelante hasta el fin, y no solamente con nuestros labios, o servicio así, o hacerlo porque los demás están haciéndolo. No.
So these two parables are highlighting the fact that there's a cost of being a disciple of Christ.
Y estas dos parábolas nos enseñan que hay un precio en ser discípulo de Jesucristo.
And we must be willing to pay that price.
Y debemos de estar listo para pagar ese precio.
Now remember, we're not talking about salvation.
Una vez más, recuerde, no estamos hablando de nuestra salvación.
We're talking about being his disciple, a follower of Jesus.
Estamos hablando de ser seguidores y discípulos de Jesucristo.
I remember when I first was going to attend church.
Yo recuerdo cuando primero quería atender a la iglesia.
It was a small Assembly of God church in the town that I was raised in.
Era una iglesia pequeña de las Asambleas de Dios en el lugar donde yo crecí.
I was born and raised a Roman Catholic.
Yo nací y crecí siendo un católico.
But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Pero cuando recibí a Jesucristo como mi personal Salvador.
I was asked one day, do you want to go with me to church? Which was a little Assembly of God church in the town that I was raised.
Me preguntaron si yo quería asistir a la Asamblea de Dios, la iglesia.
And I said yes.
Y yo dije que sí.
I had never been to the church as far as to attend it.
Yo nunca antes había atendido a esa iglesia.
And I told my mother about it.
Y le dije a mi mamá.
And she got really sad because I wasn't going to church with her at the Catholic church.
Y ella se puso muy triste porque yo no estaba yendo a la iglesia católica con ella.
And she began to cry.
Y ella empezó a llorar.
And when she was crying there, remember it was at the kitchen table at my house.
Y cuando ella estaba llorando, yo recuerdo que estaba ella sentada en la mesa de la cocina.
I was standing there and my ride was coming to the house.
Yo estaba parado allí y la persona que me iba a llevar a la iglesia venía.
And my mother was crying at the table.
Y mi mamá estaba llorando allí en la mesa.
And as she was there crying, this verse, but from Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, came to me.
este mismo verso, pero que se encuentra en Mateo 10:37, vino a mi mente.
And this was what came to my mind as my mother is crying there and my ride to church is coming to pick me up.
Y esto es lo que entró a mi mente mientras que miraba a mi mamá llorando sentada en la mesa y al mismo tiempo venía la persona que me iba a llevar a la iglesia.
And the verse came to my mind that says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me.
En Mateo 10:37, el verso que nos dice, cualquier que ama más al padre o madre más que a mí, no es digno de mí.
And right there, I knew I had to make a decision.
Y en ese momento, yo sabía que necesitaba hacer mi decisión.
Is Jesus Christ going to be my all in all, or am I going to choose to really be subservient or follow my own parents or whatever other than Christ?
¿Jesucristo va a ser mi todo en todo, o voy a ser sirviente de mi familia en lugar de eso y seguir a ellos en vez de él?
To be honest with you,
para ser honesto con usted,
it was not an easy decision.
No era decisión fácil para mí.
But I chose to go with Christ.
Pero decidí seguir a Jesucristo.
And to follow Christ at that moment meant going to church that was, or going to a church that was not a Catholic church.
Y en ese momento, la decisión para mí para seguir a Jesucristo era de decidir a ir a una iglesia que no era iglesia católica.
I had to choose Christ.
Yo necesitaba escoger a Jesucristo.
But when I did,
pero cuando lo hice,
I remember the peace of God that came into my heart that day.
Yo recuerdo la paz de Dios que entró a mi vida ese día.
And I'm glad to tell you.
Y estoy alegre para compartir con usted.
That same day, God began to deal with my mom's heart.
Que ese mismo día, el Señor empezó a tratar con el corazón de mi mamá.
And it wasn't too much longer that my mom accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior.
Y después de ese tiempo, no era mucho tiempo más que mi mamá también recibió a Jesucristo como su Salvador y Señor.
As his disciple, we need to be willing to go where he tells us to go.
Como su discípulo, debemos de estar preparados a seguirle donde él nos dice.
It's not always going to be easy.
No va a ser fácil siempre.
But if we're willing to go, we'll see the glory of God.
Pero si estamos listos para seguirle, vamos a ver la gloria de Dios.
Let's go to our third parable this evening.
Ahora vamos a estudiar nuestro parábola número 3.
It's in Luke chapter 15.
En Lucas 15.
Verses 3 through 7.
Versos 3 a 7.
It's also found in Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 through 14.
Esta parábola también se encuentra en Mateo 18, versos 10 a 14.
This is the parable of the lost sheep.
Esta es la parábola de la oveja perdida.
I'm going to read it verses 3 through 7 of Luke chapter 15.
Voy a leer versos 3 a 7 de Lucas 15.
And it says, so he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Mm-hmm. This is a familiar parable that we all know very well.
Esta es una parábola muy conocida de muchos de nosotros.
And as is obvious, it's describing the salvation of a lost sinner.
Y como es claro aquí, nos habla de la salvación de un pecador.
In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 15, we see the context.
Y en versos 1 y 2, entendemos y leemos el contexto.
Verses 1 and 2 says, "Now tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And then as you can see in verse 3, it says, "So he told them this parable." These verses show us that there were sinners coming to Jesus.
Estos versos nos enseñan que habían pecadores viniendo, acercándose a Jesucristo.
Now, can you imagine if you were Jesus?
¿Se puede imaginar usted si usted era Jesús?
And you see these lost sinners coming and listening to what you have to say?
¿Y usted pudiera ver estos pecadores viniendo para escuchar las palabras que tienes para compartir con ellos?
It's exciting when a sinner turns to Christ as Lord and Savior.
Es algo con mucha alegría cuando un pecador viene para arrepentirse de su pecado.
And so they're coming to Jesus, these tax collectors and sinners.
Y estos publicanos y pecadores venían a Jesucristo.
But there's a group of people, the Pharisees and the scribes, who are grumbling in their hearts.
Pero había un grupo de gente, unos grupos, los fariseos y los escribas, que murmuraban en su corazón.
Jesus sees them grumbling and complaining about these sinners that are following Jesus.
Jesús miraba a los fariseos y los fariseos y los escribas murmuraban de lo que vivían.
And in their complaint, they're saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them."
Y en su queja, ellos decían, "Este recibe a los pecadores y come con ellos."
It's sad how blind the Pharisees and scribes were.
Es muy triste que los fariseos y los escribas eran como ciegos.
They're totally missing the heart of God.
No estaban entendiendo el corazón de Dios.
That God loves people.
Que Dios ama a la gente.
And he came to save sinners.
Y él vino para salvar a los pecadores.
And so he illustrates what is happening through this parable of the lost sheep.
Y Jesús usó la parábola para ilustrar lo que estaba pasando por medio de la oveja perdida.
Now keep in mind that these sinners, tax collectors and sinners are coming to Jesus, they're following him.
Recuerde, estos publicanos y pecadores estaban siguiendo y viniendo a Jesucristo.
And then there's the Pharisees complaining.
Y los fariseos estaban murmurando, quejándose.
And so this parable is being spoken to all of these groups of people.
Y esta parábola, Jesús habló a los dos grupos de gente.
And he begins to tell them that story of a person having 100 sheep who has lost one of them.
Y empezó diciendo la parábola del hombre que tenía 100 ovejas, pero se perdió una.
And so he leaves the 99, which are totally fine there in the open field, to go after that one lost sheep.
Y él dejó a los 99 para ir a buscar la oveja perdida.
Jesus is showing how important that lost soul is.
Jesús estaba enseñando la importancia de esa alma perdida.
He, being a shepherd, knew his sheep.
Él, siendo pastor, conocía a sus ovejas.
And he sees that one is missing.
Y él vio que una estaba perdida.
Jesus, being the good shepherd, leaves the 99 in search of that one lost sheep.
Y Jesús, siendo el buen pastor, dejó a los 99 para buscar esa esa oveja perdida.
And the scripture says that when he finds it, he puts the sheep on his shoulder as they would over the shoulder, and he begins to carry that sheep back to the fold.
La escritura nos dice que cuando la encuentra, la pone sobre sus hombros, gozosos, y regresó a su lugar.
And it's a beautiful picture because he doesn't just do it and take it as if it's a hard job. He's excited and happy. He has found this lost sheep.
Y es una historia muy bella porque él no lo hizo con quejarse que era trabajo muy duro. No, él tenía mucho gozo para encontrarla y regresar a los demás.
He joins he calls all his friends together and he begins to throw a kind of party to celebrate the fact that he found that lost sheep.
Él reúne a sus amigos para celebrar que esa oveja perdida ya no está perdida.
So in verse 7, Jesus says these words to those that are listening, the sinners, the tax collectors and sinners, and these Pharisees and scribes that have just complained.
En verso 7, leemos lo que Jesús dijo a los grupos de gente, los pecadores y publicanos, y también a los fariseos y los escribos.
And he says in verse 7, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Os digo que así habrá más gozo en el cielo por un pecador que se arrepiente que por 99 justos que no necesitan de arrepentimiento.
And what Jesus is expressing to all of those that are listening.
Y lo que Jesús está enseñando a los que le están escuchando a él.
Is the importance of the human soul and the importance of them coming to God.
De la importancia de esa alma perdida y de la importancia de acercarse y venir a él.
And when that sinner repents and turns to God with all of their hearts, there is a great rejoicing that occurs in heaven.
Y cuando esa alma se arrepienta y viene a Jesucristo, hay mucho gozo y celebración en el cielo.
When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there was great rejoicing in heaven.
Cuando usted aceptó a Jesucristo como su Salvador, también en los cielos había un gran celebración.
But as we see sinners beginning to come to God, we must rejoice with the angels in heaven as well.
Y en ver a las almas perdidas viniendo a Jesucristo, nosotros también debemos de celebrar y tener gozo junto con los ángeles que están con gozo en los cielos.
Let's not be like those religious Pharisees and scribes.
No queremos ser como ese grupo de religiosos fariseos y escribas.
That when we see God dealing with human souls and they come to God, that we get jealous of what God's doing in their lives.
De que cuando nosotros vemos Jesús tratando con esa alma perdida, que nos entra celos malos en ver lo que Jesús está haciendo en sus vidas.
No, like the angels in heaven, we should rejoice with all of our hearts at what God is doing in saving the lost.
No, así como los ángeles en el cielo, debemos de tener gozo en ver lo que Jesús está haciendo.
You see, there was a complaint about what God was doing in the hearts of sinners.
Aquí entendemos que había una queja de lo que Dios estaba haciendo en los corazones de los pecadores.
Rather, Jesus says, no, this is a good thing. God is doing something great. Let's rejoice.
Pero Jesús declaraba, no, esto es algo bueno que Dios está haciendo y debemos de tener gozo por lo que Él está haciendo.
There is great value to the human soul.
Hay gran valor a la alma humana.
And one of the greatest miracles is the salvation of that soul.
Y uno de los más grandes milagros es ver la salvación de una alma perdida.
Now let's look at our last parable.
Ahora vamos a estudiar nuestro parábola número 4.
This is the parable of the unprofitable servant.
La parábola del siervo inútil.
It's found in Luke chapter 17 and verse 7.
En Lucas 17, verso 7.
And in that we will read verses 7 through 10.
Vamos a leer versos 7 a 10.
And it says, "Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at the table'? Will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me and dress properly, and serve me while I eat and drink? Afterward, you will eat and drink.' Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, 'We are unworthy or unprofitable servants. We have only done what was our duty.'" This is the parable of the unprofitable servant.
Aquí leemos la parábola del siervo inútil.
Or the parable of the unworthy servant. And what this parable is bringing out is the importance of being obedient to our master.
Y esta parábola nos enseña la importancia de ser fiel a nuestro maestro.
Now, we need to step back and understand how that bondservants worked for their master back in those Bible times.
Tenemos que tomar un paso para atrás para ver claramente cómo estos siervos trabajaban por su dueño o maestro.
In many ways, it's hard for us in our generation to fully comprehend this because we don't have bondservants in the way that they did.
En muchas maneras, quizás es difícil para entender porque no tenemos siervos como había en ese tiempo.
But to be honest with you, you and I as disciples of Christ have become servants of God.
Pero en ser honesto con usted, usted y yo, en ser discípulos de Jesucristo, somos siervos de Dios.
All of the apostles, when they start their letters, as we see in the New Testament, called themselves bondslaves or bondservants.
Todos los discípulos en comenzar sus cartas, los libros de la Biblia, leemos que se llamaban siervos de Dios.
So being a bondservant meant that they were, in essence, the slave to a master.
Y en ser un siervo era decir que eran como esclavos a su dueño o maestro.
We are slaves of Christ.
Nosotros somos como siervos o esclavos a Jesucristo.
He is our master.
Él es nuestro maestro.
He calls the shots.
He
gives the orders.
Él da los órdenes.
And here, Jesus begins to show us how important it is to do what is asked of us.
Y aquí, Jesús nos enseña la importancia de hacer lo que es pedido a nosotros.
And so he begins to show the work of the bondservant.
Y enseña el trabajo de ese siervo inútil.
And he says, "Which of you, having a servant plowing or keeping the sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and recline at the table'?"
Verso 7, "¿Quién de vosotros, teniendo un siervo que ara o apaciente ganado, al volver él del campo, luego dice, pasa, siéntate a la mesa?"
He says, "No, will you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper, dress properly, serve me while I eat and drink, then you can eat and drink'?"
No, le dice más bien, "Prepárame la cena, siéntate y sírvame hasta que haya comido y bebido."
Now, verse 9 says, "Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded?"
Verso 9 dice, "¿Acaso da gracias al siervo porque hizo lo que se le había mandado?"
And what we must understand here is that the servant, his duty is to obey the commands of this master.
Queremos entender que el propósito y lo que era necesario era que el siervo obedecía a los órdenes del maestro.
Not only was he supposed to be outside plowing and keeping sheep.
Él estaba afuera trabajando con el ganado.
No, that was part of his tasks, part of what he was commanded to do.
Y eso era parte de lo que debía de hacer.
And he was still supposed to prepare supper, to dress right, to serve and serve them whatever while he ate. And so he was being commanded to do these things.
Y también necesitaba hacer la comida y servir y hacer estos órdenes.
So he says, does he thank him for what he was commanded to do?
¿Acaso da gracias al siervo porque hizo lo que había mandado?
Verse 10 says, so you also. So he brings it back to applying this personally.
Y en verso 10 lo aplica personalmente.
He says, you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy or unprofitable servants. We've only done what was our duty.
Así también vosotros, cuando hayáis hecho todo lo que os ha sido ordenado, decir, siervos inútiles somos, pues lo que debíamos hacer, hicimos.
This might seem like it's pretty harsh or pretty tough.
Quizás esto se parece ser muy duro y duro.
But I want to bring a little clarification.
Pero quiero clarificar algo.
As servants of the Lord,
como siervos de Dios,
he's only giving us certain things to do.
Él solamente nos da ciertas cosas para hacer.
He doesn't overwork us.
Él no nos da trabajo más que podemos
not
hacer.
Not only that, he gives us the grace and the ability to accomplish what he asks us to do.
Aún Él nos da la gracia y lo que necesitamos para cumplir y hacer lo que debemos.
And so in many ways, what he's saying here, just do what you are commanded to do.
Y lo que está enseñando aquí es de hacer lo que debíamos hacer.
Don't do more than that.
No tienes que hacer más de eso.
Don't do less than that.
No debes de hacer menos de eso.
I've heard of preachers.
Yo he escuchado de predicadores.
That was called to preach or called to pastor a small church.
Que fueron llamados a ser pastor de iglesia chica.
They were called to marry and bury, to do these kinds of things, to dedicate their children to pastor that small church.
Que fueron llamados para casar, para hacer funerales, para dedicar los bebés y hacer cosas pastoriales así.
But this zeal began to grip their heart.
Pero el...
They were motivated to do more than what God called them to do.
Pero hallaron como un zelo para hacer más de lo que habían sido llamados
so,
a hacer.
So not only were they pastoring the small church.
Y no simplemente estaban pastoreando esa iglesia pequeña.
They began to do crusades and began to travel.
Empezaron a hacer más cosas de viajar y tener, buscar congregaciones grandes.
And everything seemed to be going well until finally this minister was burned out.
Y todo se parecía ser bien hasta que vino este ministro al lugar de quemarse de ese celo. Ya no podía.
And so, when he was struggling going through this burnout.
Y en estar en esta batalla de ya no poder hacer más.
He broke down before the Lord and said, Lord, why is this happening?
Él, quebrantado delante del Señor, preguntó, Señor, ¿por qué está pasando esto?
The Lord spoke to him.
Y el Señor lo habló a él.
He said, I didn't call you to go and do those crusades that you were doing.
Y el Señor le dijo, yo no te llamé a hacer esas otras cosas grandes que estabas haciendo.
I called you to pastor that small church.
Yo te llamé a ser pastor a esa iglesia pequeña.
Now, sometimes we can think in our own zeal.
A veces podemos pensar en nuestro mismo zelo.
That God wants us to just go and overachieve and do more than he's asking us.
Que Dios quiere que hagamos más de lo que él nos llamó a hacer.
But no, God wants us to do what he's commanded us to do.
Pero no, Dios simplemente quiere que obedecemos los órdenes que Él nos ha dado.
If He's called you to pastor a small church, pastor that small church with the best of your ability.
Si Él le ha llamado a ser pastor de una iglesia pequeña, hazlo con toda tu habilidad y todo corazón.
If He's calling you to pastor a big church or to do a big work, do it with all of your ability because He's commanded you to do it.
O si Él está llamando a hacer otra cosa grande, hazlo con todo su corazón, porque Él está llamando a hacerlo.
Remember, in the Psalms it says,
recuerde, en los Salmos dice,
it says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it.
Si el Señor no construye la casa, entonces ellos trabajan en vano para construirlo.
In other words, we must do what God is telling us to do, no more and no less.
En otras palabras, debemos de hacer lo que Dios nos ha llamado a hacer, no más de eso y no menos de eso.
And then when we've done it and we've done it well,
y cuando lo hemos hecho y lo hemos hecho bien,
it's not that God's going to come and tell us, thank you. No, we will say we are unprofitable servants. I've done what you've commanded me to do.
Vamos a decir, como dice el verso, siervos inútiles somos, pues lo que debíamos hacer, hicimos.
Now, really quick with the context.
Rápidamente, acerca del contexto.
In verse 5 and 6, the apostles came to Jesus and they said to him, increase our faith.
En versos 5 y 6, los apóstoles vinieron al Señor y decían, aumentenos la fe.
And in verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you.
Entonces el Señor dijo, si tuvieras fe como un grano de mostaza, podrías decir a este sicomoro, desarrácate y plántate en el mar, y os obedecería.
And what Jesus is expressing even in this parable,
y lo que Jesús está expresando en esta parábola,
is obedience.
Es obediencia.
Do what he has asked you to do.
Haz lo que él ha pedido.
When we have faith,
and cuando tenemos fe,
he says, if you have faith the grain, the size of a mustard seed,
como un grano de mostaza,
he says, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it would obey you.
Podrías decir a este sicomoro, plántate en el mar y os obedecería.
What has God commanded you and me to do?
¿Qué nos ha pedido el Señor de usted y de mí para hacer?
If we will obey and do what he has asked us to do,
si obedecemos y hacemos lo que él nos ha pedido,
as we live in obedience before God,
y mientras que vivimos en obediencia a él,
we will see God do amazing things.
Vamos a ver a Dios hacer cosas grandes.
But even then, as God is doing what only he can do,
y aún en esas veces, cuando Dios hace lo que Él solo puede hacer,
we will understand that it's God's work and not ours.
Vamos a entender que es el trabajo de Dios y no de nosotros.
We give all the glory to God.
Y la gloria lo vamos a dar todo a Él.
We are unprofitable servants.
Somos siervos inútiles.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Vamos a orar.
Lord, we're grateful, Lord, for what you teach us in the parables. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be a people that will count the cost and follow you wholeheartedly as your disciples. That, Lord, we will pay that price. Lord, we're grateful that salvation is free. But as your disciples, we must be willing to go all the way. We've put our hand to the plow and we do not look back. And so I pray that you would help us to be true disciples in this day that we are living. Lord, there can come a time when we are being misunderstood, where we can be hated because we are his disciples. But Lord, we trust you to give us the grace and the strength to stand for you no matter what. We're grateful that you are in the business of saving the lost, even as we saw in the parable of the lost sheep. There's great rejoicing in heaven at the salvation of that lost soul. It is precious to you. Help us, Lord, to be a people that learn and know how to reach out to the lost. And as we do that, Lord, we will give you all the praise and all the glory, for we are unprofitable servants. To you and to you alone belongs all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Help us to be obedient to you as you speak to us and as you command us to do whatever it is you're commanding us to do as lay people, as ministers, that we would do all that you've commanded us to do, no more and no less. Give us the grace, the help that we need. I pray that you'd be with all of those that are listening, those that are watching online. Bless them abundantly. And we thank you again for the parables. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.